Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Whether you're single or married, planning on having children or not, having a good, sound financial plan is imperative. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is November 14th, 2013, and we are on day two of our finance article, Sound Financial Planning. You can find it on pages 24 and 25 in your Advanced magazine. And glad you are here with us today. Hope you joined us yesterday. It was an engaging conversation about planning financially and why it's important and some of the lessons to be learned and also some of the things to be aware of. And my two panelists, Simon Stops and Campbell Chong, are back in the studio with me today. Hi, panelists.
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Great to have you here with me today on this article again. Now, before we get into our reading from today, let me get from each one of you maybe a thought from yesterday, or whether it's a concept we discussed or a key term or phrase. And first, I'll go with Campbell.
Well, I think it was very interesting to learn the cost of the average middle-income family today needs, the amount of money they need to raise a kid from birth to age 18 is $234,900. And that's up 23% from what the family spent in 1960.
Okay. And it's going up. And we had talked about some of the things that had made that number rise as far as clothing. And I'm also thinking of education.
Right.
I know, just even with my own example, I went to I went to Pennsylvania State University, which was a state university. When I was there in when I graduated in the early 80s, it was a reasonable cost.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what has happened, one of the things that has skyrocketed in America is the cost of a university degree.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept raising that over the years, 7 or 8%, because they could. And just that component has gone out of control.
Right.
And so that's caused this number to go up so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's amazing that, you know, just how much people are spending now, mm-hmm. more than what they used to. And that's even adjusting for inflation and adjusting for the rising prices.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. And when we say adjusting for inflation, that means we can't take the number, the absolute number that was spent in 1960, and compare that with the absolute number that is spent in 2013, because certainly the number in 2013 is going to be much higher. When we adjust for inflation, we take the number from 1960 and we calculate in, okay, what if we applied a 5% rate of inflation over the last 50 years? Then those two numbers can be more equally compared.
Right. Basically, I mean, $1 today is not going to buy you what you could have bought with $1 in 1960.
Yeah. Okay. Simon.
I think that section called Build a Cash Cushion that talked about putting together a rainy day fund was the thing that struck me as most important. I guess a lot of people probably are used to spending the money they earn each month, and that doesn't give them a whole lot in case something bad happens.
Yeah, we usually say there's too much month at the end of the paycheck, and that just means people run out of money like 2 or 3 days before the end of the month. Simon mentioned yesterday credit cards, and I again want to raise that red flag for people to avoid that at all costs, because credit cards, these companies charge 18-21% interest, and once you start putting money on that credit card, it's really hard to get rid of it.
That's right. And it's not necessarily that credit cards are bad. There's all kinds of good uses for them.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of what they call carrying a balance,
yes.
or sort of leaving money owed to the credit card company from
right.
1 month to the next. And you can see that sort of thing happening, maybe not for little things, but, you know, if your car stops working and you need to replace a car, the cost of a car, paying for that kind of thing, that can leave you in a lot of debt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife and I, we try to make it a policy to just pay the full balance every month. You know,
right.
Our credit card balance, never leave a balance there. Just pay it off. And if we can't pay it off, then we try not to buy it in the first place.
Yeah. If you can pay off the credit card, if you look at something and say, man, I got to use my credit card. But if you can look at this and say, I will pay this off next month. Okay. But if you say, well, I got to use my credit card. When am I going to pay this off? Later.
Yeah.
Then you got a problem. Yeah.
So we're talking about wise use there. If you think about it, there are all kinds of great benefits to having a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you don't have to carry a lot of cash around with you.
Right.
If you're buying plane tickets, you can get travel insurance through the credit card.
Yeah. You can get sometimes even rides to the airport.
That's right. You can get points for buying stuff and all kinds of free, wonderful things.
Right.
Oh.
But don't be allured by those attractions.
Right. Don't be driven into debt.
Yeah.
Over
frequent flyer miles.
So right.
Don't go into debt over that stuff. So.
Be a smart credit card user.
Yeah. All right. Now, today we are getting into some other things as far as sound financial planning. We're going to talk about insurance and also estate planning and some strategies. So we're going to have our first reading for today there on page 25.
Review insurance coverage. If there's one thing expectant parents know they'll probably need, it's additional life insurance. Financial planner Jason Close said, given the higher costs of raising a child, a surviving spouse would need access to cash in case something were to happen. But the review of insurance coverage shouldn't stop at just life coverage. Couples frequently underestimate how much their medical costs will rise and should reevaluate what plan they're signed up for and whether it's still appropriate, McMahon said. One of the things that surprises young couples most immediately after having a child is the size of their portion of medical bills connected with the delivery, she said. Get estate planning. After you have a child, it's not all just about you and your spouse anymore. You need to quickly make contingency plans for the new member of your family, Close said. It's imperative to get the legal documents in place that will assign a guardian for your child if both parents were to die prematurely, he said.
Okay, yesterday we had talked about some things you can do to prepare, and we had talked about building a cash cushion, that rainy day fund, also making some other plans as far as what your expenses are and reconfiguring your life and what you are doing. Now, today we start talking about reviewing insurance coverage.
That's right. They say here, if there's one thing expectant parents know they'll probably need, it's additional life insurance. And so the idea is when people know they have a child coming, they want to make sure they have a secure financial future. And so they look to life insurance.
Okay. Expectant parents, we call them that when the wife is pregnant. So maybe 4, 5, 6 months along the way, they are the expectant parents. It will be coming soon. And this information about additional life insurance comes from Jason Close and says, given the higher costs of raising a child.
Right. Given the higher costs of raising a child, a surviving spouse would need access to cash in case something were to happen. So here we're talking about in case one of the, you know, whether the husband or the wife were to pass away and how would the surviving spouse, the husband or the wife, continue to have money to raise the child? Well, the insurance would be there to help.
Well, and this traditionally, it always was about, well, the husband should get the insurance in case something happened to him. But I would, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking this now really applies to both husband and wife.
Sure. I mean, there's plenty of families where the wife goes to work and the husband stays at home, you know. So the wife is the source of income. And so if something were to happen to the wife, then the husband wouldn't have income to take care of their child.
Yeah. The main idea of life insurance, I suppose, is to replace lost income. So if a person's becoming injured or dying or whatever, led to a loss of income for the family, you want to be able to replace that income so it's not a huge disruption to the family's life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, next paragraph we see here, but the review of life insurance coverage shouldn't stop at just life coverage.
That's right. It says couples frequently underestimate how much their medical costs will rise and should reevaluate what plan they're signed up for and whether it's still appropriate. Here they're talking specifically about being in the U.S. and medical insurance. Mm-hmm. But no matter where you live, there's an additional thing you should consider, and that's actually disability insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, in this part, we're not talking just about the medical costs maybe of the child, but we're talking about the couple, the husband and wife, as they age, right?
That's right. And, well, even just having young kids, I think Campbell will tell us that when you have kids, you know, they have to go to the doctor more, more than grown-ups do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Even in just, you know, normal circumstances, kids have to go, young children have to go to the doctor. It seems like at least once a month, maybe twice a month, they get a cold or something, they got a runny nose,
yeah.
Right? It's always something.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, living in Taipei, we're blessed with the universal coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, health costs is a lot lower here.
Yeah.
But in the States, health insurance and medical expenses can be quite high.
Yeah, they are very high. One of the things that surprises young couples most is what?
Well, immediately after having a child is the size of their portion of medical bills connected with the delivery. So just even giving birth to the child costs a lot of money.
Yeah, that whole procedure. And again, we're talking about in America, it's a very expensive procedure. It depends on where the baby is delivered, which hospital. There's a pretty wide variety as far as cost, but I believe in some cases it can end up even being anywhere between $15,000 to $25,000 U.S. the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a lot of couples are not prepared for that.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simon is starting to rethink this whole idea.
Well, I mean.
Yeah, I'm Canadian, so we don't pay anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Canadians are lucky.
That sounded like a really big number to me.
That's a huge number.
Yeah,
I mean, just to put it in perspective, like our daughter, because she was born premature, she spent 4 months in the hospital. You know, at the end of 4 months in the hospital, our total bill was 1 million NT. But out of our own pocket, we paid 50,000 NT. So that is a huge – and I mean, I don't know what it would be in the States. That is –
Yay,
well, what you're
public
saying,
health insurance.
Just for our listeners in other parts of the world, you were saying your total bill was about $30,000 mm-hmm. and then your part was about $1,500 mm-hmm. U.S. dollars. Now, you said 4 months. Now, for everybody to keep this in perspective, going back then to our listeners here in Asia, if this had happened in the United States and the daughter was in the hospital for 4 months, your total bill, the total bill would have been 1 million U.S. dollars
mm-hmm.
easily.
Yep.
Would have been 1 million U.S. dollars. Now, even with insurance, Campbell would have been responsible for anywhere between 100 to 200,000 U.S. dollars.
Yep.
And as a young couple, you can imagine what that would do for them and how that would impact the next 10 to 20 years
mm-hmm.
of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what this article is talking about, is that's why this idea of insurance might be so important, because you need to be prepared for emergencies like that. A young couple often, you can imagine what that would do. Say, oh, you owe us 100,000 U.S. dollars, mm-hmm. what that would do to a young couple.
Just for having a kid.
Just for the delivery. And you're just getting started in this ballgame.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So that's why we are talking about this and why this is so important. You need sound financial planning. And you just can't rely on mom and dad, because if you went to mom and dad and say, hey, I need 100 or 200,000 U.S. dollars.
They might not have it.
I don't know what's going to happen.
So. You're going to be working that off for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's insurance. And next, we then move into this paragraph at the top of the right column on page 25, get estate planning.
Yeah. This word estate is a complicated one. It really means property. The reason it's often confusing for people is because it's the same word we use when we talk about buying real estate,
mm-hmm.
right? When we're talking about real estate, we're talking about buying property. When we're talking about estate planning, we're talking about the things we have, mm-hmm. but not necessarily just land, not just real estate. Yeah. We're talking about money, family members, possessions we have. And so estate planning, it really means for planning what will happen with your things and your family after you're gone.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as it, you know, could be investments, my retirement plan, things like that that I've got saved up. So after you have a child, it's not all just about you and your spouse anymore. You need to do what?
Well, you need to quickly make contingency plans for the new member of your family. Now, a contingency is something that might possibly happen in the future, usually causing problems or making further arrangements necessary. So in case something happens to you or your wife, you need to make adjustments, and these adjustments need to include this new baby in your life.
Okay. And it's imperative.
Necessary, very, very important, to get legal documents in place that will assign a guardian for your child. This is interesting. When they say a legal document, usually they're talking about what we would call a will, right? Mm. Having a will written. The name will comes from the term last will and testament, meaning a piece of paper you sign before you die explaining what you want to happen after you die. And you want this thing to assign a guardian. A guardian is a person who can take care of and take responsibility for your children.
Yeah, because sometimes this is if both parents were to die prematurely. Now, what do we mean prematurely?
Well, by prematurely, it means before their time. So, you know, if a child is young and both of his parents die, he becomes an orphan. Now, who is going to take care of this child?
Mm-hmm. And it does happen. I mean, there have been cases where parents, there might be an accident of some kind and they die, or maybe there's some sudden illness that happens. So, and it is important to at least, it's great to have a legal document, but at least discuss this with somebody and say, hey, if something happens, we need you to take care of our child.
Well, in a lot of cases, it actually depends on where you live. In Canada, mm-hmm. if parents die, it goes automatically to the courts. And so if you don't have a will, you have no idea what will happen.
Mm.
Yeah. The court will just decide however it sees fit. And so in a lot of places, having a will is necessary. I don't know how necessary it is here in Taipei.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people probably don't have wills here.
I think it's important for people to address this because, one, we all assume we're going to live forever. And then the other thing is that we just kind of assume, well, if something did happen, well, mom and dad would take over, or Uncle Joe would be the one. My brother, Uncle Joe, or somebody would take over. Well, we can't always assume that because there is no guarantee on that, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah. And it also makes you start to think, well, what are you really working for? You know, like life is short. You never know what's going to happen. So, you know, you can't take any of the stuff with you. So what are you really working for? What are you focusing your life on?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Last section, we talk about looking long term.
Look long term. Given all the obligations that need to be handled even before Junior utters his first word, it's easy for parents to lose sight of other, even bigger financial obligations down the road. College planning is perhaps the biggest looming financial hurdle. Some parents think it's too soon to think about saving for college when a child is just born. But by starting to save when a child is born or even before, parents can dramatically reduce the financial strain of the process. Be adaptable. Parents and financial planning experts insist that parents should have a financial plan but build in flexibility. Much of what's enjoyable about having kids is the unpredictability they bring.
Bill Quinn here with Campbell Chong and Simon Stops. We're on our final section of Sound Financial Planning on page 25. And our section here is titled Look Long Term.
That's right. Looking long term means just looking farther into the future and not just focusing on the present right now. It says, given all the obligations that need to be handled, even before Junior utters his first word, it's easy for parents to lose sight of other, even bigger financial obligations down the road. So it's a long sentence that basically just says, there's a lot to consider right now while the child is young, but there's other bigger things that you need to think about ahead.
Yeah. I love the term junior there. When I grew up, there were lots of people in my hometown where the father's name was Bob, the son's name was Bob, and so you'd tell the difference by calling them Bob Senior
right.
and Bob Junior, and so that's what they're talking about here. Junior is just the son or the kid's name.
Well, I know here in the culture here, we don't use junior mm-hmm. or senior mm-hmm. or even the third.
Right.
Right?
Well, each generation has, some families, they have different names that they would include for each generation. So it's rare that you see that a father and son have the same name.
Yeah. All right. Now, earlier in the article, yesterday we did talk about the cost of raising a kid until age 18. But there's something else waiting to just knock your head off right
bum,
near
bum,
the end.
Bum. College.
Oh!
Yeah. When my parents went to college, it was possible to have a summer job, work hard in the summer and use the money you saved to pay for your college tuition and living expenses through the whole year.
What?
But
yeah.
Those days are gone.
Gone.
Gone forever.
Gone. So college planning is perhaps the biggest looming financial hurdle. What do we mean looming?
When something is looming, that means that it's going to be happening soon and it's going to cause you worry. It's something that, you don't necessarily want to happen, but it's in the air. It's waiting to happen.
Yeah, it has a very negative meaning. Usually we use looming when we're talking about trouble. Trouble was looming. The storm was looming.
Yeah, danger.
Danger. Yeah.
Now, what mistake do a lot of parents make?
Well, a lot of parents think it's too soon to think about saving for college when a child is just born. But as we were talking about earlier, it's never too early to prepare financially. So if the earlier you start preparing for your child's future education, the better plan, the better you will be off when it comes time to it.
This is just the same thing we were talking about yesterday, right? Planning to fail is failing to – wait a minute. I got that wrong. Bill, you're going to have to help
failing
me out with that again.
Plan is planning to fail. And that means if you fail to plan, you have no game plan. And what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for failure later on.
That's it. That's it. So you want to plan early and plan often.
Yeah. And give you an example. Okay. By starting to save when a child is born or even before – parents can dramatically reduce the financial strain of the process. All right, let's give you some numbers. Okay, today at any large university in America, or even college, it just seems across the board, you're looking at a minimum $30,000 a year. Hmm. That's $30,000 a year in America. Multiply that by four. There's $120,000. Now, just if you had a baby today, you can pretty much figure by the time they are 18 years old and going to college, 18 years from now, you're looking at $50,000 to $60,000 per year. And I'm just going to double it. I'm going to say $60,000 a year. You're looking at $240,000. I'll just make it $250,000, $250,000 for that child that you have today to get a university degree in the United States of America. And so a lot of people don't realize, wow, $250,000 just for one university degree. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it is so important when that child is born to start saving. You may not be able to save the complete amount by that time, but at least you will save some. And you can't always count on scholarships later on. There's no guarantee that they're going to get a scholarship because they play an instrument well or they play sports well or their academics are so high because everybody else is competing for those scholarships. So if you have a child today, you're looking at $250,000 for them to get a university degree when they grow up.
Yeah, it's just when you – the more money you have saved, the more choices you have, right?
Yeah.
So saving for all of these different possibilities or things that could possibly go wrong, it's just a good idea.
Yeah, and that's actually why, speaking of college, I actually tell a lot of the parents I talk to here in Taipei, I say – have your child get your undergraduate degree here, and then they can go and get a master's degree in America, and actually can save them a lot of money because the cost is much lower here. So, and they can work on their English here while they are here in Taipei. Don't worry about their English when they get to America. You just have them listen to Advanced for 4 years, and they will be just fine.
That's true.
No problem.
Yeah, that means you have to be adaptable, right? In our last section.
That's right. It says be adaptable. Parents and financial planning experts insist that parents should have a financial plan, but build in flexibility. So they need to be willing to change the plan as things come along.
Okay. All right. We've got two sidebars here on this page. The one in the middle there says planning ahead. And during the 9 months leading up to their child's birth, parents-to-be, the expectant parents, should aggressively stockpile or save cash and cut debt while there's more certainty in their financial life. And it's easier to deal with things before the child comes along. We've got one other sidebar there at the top of page 25, saving strategy, and I'm going to have Campbell read that.
All right, it says, to cover unexpected costs, financial planner Lynn Ballou recommends parents save 5% to 10% of income each year to cover unknown costs. Despite the challenges of planning for children, though, it's well worth the time. Having a plan for money in place allows parents to focus on being parents, which is already emotionally and physically demanding, Chang said. If your finances are strong, you can focus on being a better parent.
Yeah, and I actually think that is sort of the sentence of the article for me, even though it's in a sidebar. If your finances are strong, you can focus on being a better parent.
That's right. I think it takes a lot of energy, as it says, and if you have your finances in order, that's one less thing to worry about.
There are really two or three main reasons the couples have trouble in their marriage. And the number one and number two reasons are money and family. Dealing with finances and dealing with relatives. But with this money thing, people really don't understand how important it is because it impacts the whole relationship. And there's no guarantee that being rich is going to solve your problems. That creates a whole new set of problems. But having good, honest communications about your finances and being sensible and living in moderation will actually help not only help you be good parents, but also help your marriage.
That's right. I think the more you can take care of your finances and the more you communicate, then the more you're on the same page and less problems you'll have.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being here for this article, Sound Financial Planning. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Simon.
And Campbell.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.